Blog Talk Radio.
Reconnect My Heart. We're discussing God's answers, life's problems, to reconnect our heart back to the way He originally made us. I'm your host, Brother Prater. I'm glad you all are able to join us. If you have any questions, comments, or if you just want to listen to the program, feel free to call us at 516-453-9118. That's 516-453-9118. Also, you can catch us online at www.blogtalkradio.com/reconnectmyheart. You can listen. Also, you can go to our chat room, which is also on our website. You can ask your questions, comments, or if you want to leave a prayer request, you're welcome to do so. I would like to say a huge hello to my church family, True Believers Tabernacle Church, where our pastor is Pastor Otis Logan. If you're ever in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, feel free to come out and join us. We at 4204 Cardinal Drive, Dallas, Texas, 752-16. Feel free to come out and join us and worship us. Once again, I want to say a huge thank you to everyone that was listening, and also thank you for your continued prayers, love, and support. This is a great Sunday. This is the last Sunday in the month of August. So, today, what we want to do, we want to ask you a question. Do you have any issues in dealing with your child's mother or father? This problem affects many people in society, even those within the church. No matter how bad it is or how long you've been dealing with it, know that God cares and He wants to help you with that problem. Today, we're going to discuss ways in dealing with co-parent issues, not allowing the foolishness to affect or change you, remaining focused on the best interest of your child, and many other things. Today's episode is entitled, I Love My Child, But I Hate They Mama or They Daddy. And you know, it's sad. It's a lot of people that's going through that. And you'd be surprised, the people that are going through, a lot of time it's kind of embarrassing. A lot of time I realize many people don't really discuss what's going on in their life pertaining to baby mama. They call it baby mama, baby daddy drama. Now, there are some that will actually air out their problem, but you'd be surprised those that deal with it in silence. And so today we want to talk about this issue, but we're not just going to talk about it. We want to bring it to light to let people know what other people are dealing with, to give people an opportunity to get their burden off of their chest and give it to God. Now, I do want to say this disclaimer. I'm not a licensed physician. And for those who want professional counseling, you're welcome to call me or leave a message on the chat room, and I can get your information and we can find one together, a Christian counselor that may be able to give you some professional guidance. But ultimately, we have to remember this, there's nothing too hard for God. And like I said, even talking about professional counseling, it's okay to get that. That doesn't mean that you're less than a Christian or you lack in faith or anything. But I would recommend people, for those who do want to get counseling, to let you know that there are some Christian counselors that are out there. And just because they are counselors doesn't mean that they will not give you to God. So, like I said, even though there may be some secular counselors, there are some Christian counselors out there. So in dealing with baby mother or baby father issues, what we have to do, we have to realize if we don't deal with it the right way, it could consume us. A lot of people deal with that problem in an unhealthy way. So what we first have to do, when you deal with baby mother, baby father issues, or a terminology would be co-parenting issues. When you deal with co-parenting issues, you have to first keep in mind the best interest of the child. We're going to talk about the child later on in the program, because I want to make sure that I bring out some things, but when it pertains to the child later on, I'm going to disclose some information pertaining to the children. But first and foremost, like I said, the main issue is the child. The main focus should be the child. But sometimes along the way, we lose focus. Sometimes along the way, we allow situations to overwhelm us. So we have to keep in mind that when it boils down to it, let's get the child in mind. Let's keep the focus of the child in mind. Now, First and foremost, what we do have to do, we have to first forgive. And once we forgive, we got to first forgive the parent, the co-parent. Regardless of what they do, regardless of how their behavior is, we have to first forgive them. Now, forgiveness is not for them. Forgiveness is for us. Forgiveness is for us. We have to make sure that we forgive them. Now, I'm not saying that they deserve it. No, they don't. Sometimes we have to look at regardless of what they do. First of all, when we boil down to it, none of us deserve forgiveness from God. But he gave it to us anyway. So when it boiled down to it, sorry about the background. When it boiled down to it, we have to first forgive. And forgiving, we have to make sure that realize that that forgiveness is for us. That forgiveness is for us. We have to get rid of the bitterness. We have to get rid of the poison called unforgiveness, hatred. We have to get that out of our heart. We have to get that out of our heart because that's poison, that's toxic. And what happened, unforgiveness affects us. Even though the other person may have hurt us, the other person may have done us wrong, it will poison us. It's toxic. They talk about forgiveness. They said, when you hold on to unforgiveness, it's just like drinking poison and expecting somebody else to die. So if we don't get rid of that toxic called unforgiveness or hatred, it would affect us, but also it would affect us in raising our child. Think about this. I found out that children are very impressionable. I found out children can pick up on when people have conflict problems. Children can pick up on spirits, and unforgiveness is a spirit. Now, they may not be able to say the language of unforgiveness like us adults. They may not know how to say it, but they know that there's something that's uneasy that's in the atmosphere. So when it boils down to it, realizing unforgiveness will be picked up, will be identified by the child himself. So we have to forgive them, like I said, not because they deserve it, but because we need to be free from that. We need to be free. As long as you hold on to unforgiveness, it bounds you. As long as you hold on to unforgiveness, it imprisons you. So no matter what they did, we have to forgive them. So that way, they won't be controlling us. Anytime you don't forgive someone, that person actually has control over you, regardless if they know it or not, because you end up dictating your life around them. It could be you're avoiding them or any and everything that you may do. They are the centerpiece in your mind. So realizing in order for you to break those chains, in order for that person not to control you, regardless if they know it or not, you have to forgive them. You have to release yourself from that event or that person. Now, once you have forgiven them, the next thing you need to do is forgive yourself. There's so many people that's holding on because they have regrets of, well, I shouldn't have dealt with them. I shouldn't have married them. I shouldn't have dated them. I shouldn't have slept with them. Whatever the reason, You have to forgive yourself. A lot of people, even those who may have had a child by somebody else, so many people, they have a lifelong full of regret of this. I know I shouldn't have dealt with them. But the main thing is, you can't cry over spilled milk. True enough, if we did know then what we know now, a lot of us, if not all of us, may have done things different in some part of our life. But no matter what can you learn from your mistake? What can you learn from a bad choice, a bad decision? What can you learn from it? That is what makes a person mature. Not so much of the decision that they make, but what did you learn from it, and are you applying what you learned from that? So you have to think about that. Forgiving yourself. Now, the other thing you have to do, make sure in dealing with your co-parent, make sure that you get closure towards the dating, the marriage, or whatever relationship that you all had, even if it was a one-night stand. Make sure you get closure from that. And like I said, a lot of times when it boils down to it, there are so many people, they may have broken up. They may have gone on their life. And actually, both parents could be married or dating somebody else. But even if the first parent went on with their life, dated or got married, next thing you know, the other parent gets married or start dating. And then what happened? That first parent that went on with their life or got married or started dating somebody else, they become jealous. And we have to break that tie. We have to, like I said, we have to get closure. We have to get peace. Whatever relationship that you all had, like I said, one night stand, dating, or marriage, you have to get peace with that. You got to get closure with that. In other words, get that person out of your heart. A lot of times, some of the problems that occur in co-parenting, somebody still has some unresolved issues towards that co-parent. So no matter what, you have to get that out of your system. You have to, like I said earlier, you can seek professional counseling, professional Christian counseling, or a trusting pastor, a trusting friend, someone that's going to gear you towards what God's word says. So when it boils down to it, getting closure, making sure that you can be at peace with however the relationship ended, regardless if you ended it or the other person ended it, regardless if they answered all your questions or regardless if they didn't answer any of your questions, regardless if they just abandoned you, no matter what the outcome was, get closure from it. Any unresolved issues, anything that they may have done towards you in that relationship. But now, when I say done towards you, we're not talking about physical. I'm speaking about pertaining to, like I said, the question. They may have had a behavior where you have questions and so many things that you want to ask pertaining to whatever relationship you all were in, if they never answer it. You have to get closure by it. And like I said, sometimes that closure, they may not give it to you. So what you have to do, you have to ask God to help you in receiving that closure, because it's not too many. Now, I'm not saying everybody's like this. There are some that can actually be mature enough to talk to you and say, yes, you know, very forthcoming, but, you know, yes, I did cheat, and, you know, I apologize, and, you know, this has nothing to do with who you are as a young lady or as a young man or whatever. You may run across some mature people that may sit down and talk to you and answer your questions. But then there are those that won't. There are those who don't care about how you feel. There are those who may feel like, you know what, that ain't my problem. So what do you do about that? Do you put your life on hold and wait till they answer your questions? No. That's when you have to give it to God. That's when you have to ask God to help you in the steps to be able to go on with your life, to get the closure that you need. So that way, not only you can be an effective parent to your child, but you can be an effective person. You can be an effective Christian. So you have to realize that, and there's so many people that we see that wait upon somebody else to give them closure when God said, no, I'm here to help you. Don't rely upon anybody else. Rely upon me. Another step, we didn't talk about forgiving them, forgiving yourself, getting closure. Also, in getting closure, we have to wish them well. Like I said, it could be an ex-boyfriend, girlfriend, ex-husband, ex-wife. We have to wish them well. Don't wish no evil upon them. Realize this. They may be your ex, but they are the current parent of your child. And remember this, ultimately, whatever, let's just say if you are wishing them, I wish them trouble in their life. Remember this, whatever that they deal with, it does affect your child. It will affect your child. Think about it. Let's just say that your ex left you and you wish that they lose all their money. They become bankrupt. They become homeless. And they have your child. Then what do you think going to happen to your child? Remember this. Whatever happens to your ex, it does affect your child. So we have to remember this. That person is your business partner, regardless if you like it or not. They're your business partner. And the business is the best interest of your child. So we have to make sure that we wish them well. Don't wish them any evil. You pray for them. When you pray for them, pray that God help them to come to the understanding of who they are and who, first of all, who he is and then who they are. And in spite of y'all being apart, you praying that God bring the relationship between them and him together. Pray for your enemy. The Bible tells us to pray for our enemies. Regardless if it is your baby mama or baby daddy, pray for them and pray a selfless prayer. Don't pray a selfish prayer. Don't pray based upon your feelings, your emotions, or your hurt. But pray for them. See, I found that when you pray for your enemies, when you get yourself out of the way, then that's when you begin to start seeing a greater need within them. See, they may have behaved crazy. They might have cheated on you, lied on you, lied to you, whatever. See, those things could be in effect. But the cause may be because they don't know God. So what we have to do, we have to make sure that we think as God would think, and the most important thing is their soul. Their soul. Their soul is important. So if we pray towards their soul, when it boils down to it, don't pray about God, you have them to come back and apologize to me, repent to me. No, no, no. Don't even do that. You pray for their soul to be saved and delivered, regardless of what they did to you. You pray for their soul. See, you pray salvation. You pray that God give them the sensitivity, the awareness of who he is, and accept him as Lord and Savior. And when it boils down to it, when you pray for your enemies, those who have used you, when you pray for salvation, don't worry about an apology, because the apology is inside the package of salvation. See, a lot of times people just want an apology from those who hurt them, those who have used them, and not even concerned about their soul. Guess what? What happens if they do apologize to you and they still ain't saved? Is that going to be satisfying to you? Is that all that you want? Just somebody to apologize to you? What about their soul? We as believers, we're supposed to be about what? Souls. We're supposed to be about soul winning. So if we can pray for the best interest of them, which is salvation from Christ to them, then no matter what, then that apology is in the package. But who knows? It might have taken you, the one that they've hurt, the one that they have used, it might take you to pray for them to come to Christ. So let's look at the bigger picture. Not our feelings, not our hurt, not an apology, but their soul. Their soul to be saved and delivered. Another thing, when we deal with co-parenting, we have to keep it business. Keep it business only. Sometimes some people are not mature enough to have an open, quote-unquote, conversation with their co-parent, the child's mother or the child's father. So we have to keep it business. Be direct and to the point. But also remember this. I need to put this out there also. Now, if there's any type of problem, physical or emotional abuse that may have transpired in the relationship, I would first make sure that y'all seek legal counsel. Either y'all or you seek legal counsel. And like I said, just pertaining to the counsel. I'm not an attorney. I'm not a lawyer. So, like I say, even if you are looking for one, there are many that I know that I can link you up with. But I don't want to give you any legal advice. This is not legal advice, but I'm just advising if there is any type of abuse that may have transpired, make sure that you get legal counsel. Regardless if it was pertaining to you or pertaining to the child, if not both. Make sure you get legal counsel. Now, like I said, we have to keep it business. some people even try to deal with their child's mother or their child's father as if it's a lifelong friend and y'all had not had that kind of relationship. Now, true enough, there are some that have a great relationship, a great working relationship, and there's no bitterness, there's no anger, there's no hostility. They can work together. That's great. But if you're not at that level, or if you all are not at that level of understanding, then you make sure that you keep it business. And in keeping it business, what do you have to do? First, in keeping it business, when you keep it business, you don't set yourself up for disappointments. So many people, it could be the mother or the father, they set themselves up for disappointments because they feel like, well, you know, since we're apart, we don't argue, we don't fight or fuss like we did when we were together. So, you know, I could just treat them, they're just my friend, that's my friend. But remember, first and foremost, before anything, they are your child's father or your child's mother. And like I said, even have to check and make sure. Like I said, make sure that there's no, make sure there's closure within yourself, not just within the other person, but within yourself. Sometimes, I mentioned closure earlier, but sometimes just because you have moved on, the other person may not have, or vice versa. So in keeping the business, you don't set yourself up for disappointments. And what do? In business, you make sure whatever agreement, you stick to it. Whatever agreement, you write it down. Stick with it. Stick to it. Make sure it's agreed upon by both parties. Also, make sure that you respect the other person. Make sure you respect the other parent, co-parent. Don't just go over to their house and walk in because, you know, well, I'm paying child support and this is half my house too. No, be respectful. Vice versa. Also, I do want to say this. As a lot of time as men, we don't understand the rights that we have. Now, I will say this. In the state of Texas, visitation rights are Thursdays from 6 to 8 p.m. And when there is a quote-unquote, if it's a divorce or separation or, you know, y'all were dating and you all are no longer together and you all have a child. Sorry about that. You all have a child. You have to remember, just because you're paying child support, just because you're dealing with a child custody battle, that's a total separate issue from visitation rights. So a lot of time I realize men, we drop the ball in learning what our rights are. I can say this because I work for the Dallas Sheriff Department and I deal with a lot of guys that are in for child support. And a lot of times we as men, we go by what other people say instead of getting legal counsel for ourselves. A lot of times we make an assumption, well, that's my child too, so child going to have half the time with her and half the time with me. I don't need to go to no court. No. Especially with the advancement of technology, it used to be where we used to have to go to the library. Now you can put out your smartphone. You can learn your rights, your legal rights. But a lot of time we drop the ball because we either too lazy, we wanna, well, you know, I could just, you know, see my child, whatever the court says. No, but you make a stance. You take a stance. See, the rule is whatever you all agree upon. If you don't agree upon anything as far as visitation rights, then by default, it's going to be every Thursday from 6 to 8 and then every other weekend. So I want to ask you this. As a parent, regardless if you're the mother or the father, if you don't make a stance and, you know what, I don't want just one day after week and then every other weekend. No, I want to see if we can work this together so that way not only I'm helping a child, but also I'm helping you as the other parent. We have to work together. Make your voice be known. And what happened, I want you to think about this. Do you actually think you can effectively raise your child seeing them one day out of a week for 2 hours? I want you to think about that. Do you actually think you can effectively raise your child 2 hours out of a day, one day a week, and then every other weekend? The answer is no. You can't. So you have to learn your rights. You have to learn it. Like I said, get legal counsel, even pertaining to child support. Pay the child support. And this is the thing. Don't worry about, well, what's she going to do with that money or what he going to do with that money? Because now we're living at a time where a lot of the children are staying with the father and the mother is paying child support. So regardless of what they're doing with that money, you give it. But I'm going to advise this. If you don't have it taken out of your check, your working check, if you don't have it taken out of your check, make sure you go through the system. Because as long as you giving cash or even a money order, if you just giving it to the child mother without it going through the system, if you've already, had filed child support on you, it's not going to be documented. They have to make sure everything is documented. That's why I said keeping it business. Make sure you just don't give cash or go to the ATM and give cash or a debit card or whatever. No, go through the proper channels. That way it protects you. It covers you. Because what happens if that parent forgets that you gave it to them and y'all go to court? You gave them cash, and then they asked and said, no, I didn't receive anything. Now it's your word against theirs, and it's your responsibility to prove that you gave it, not their responsibility that they received it. No, it's your responsibility to prove that you gave it. So make sure, keep it business. Make sure you go through the proper channel. Make sure you cover yourself. Also, this is something that we have to work on. Make sure y'all communicate. Make sure y'all communicate. Let me say that again. Make sure that you all communicate. Now, there may be some people who may act foolish, but you still kind of communicate with them. Now, this is the thing. The communication don't always have to be verbal. The communication could be pertaining to through a text, an email, a letter. However way y'all can keep the communication pertaining to the best interest of your child, do it. You have to do it. And don't play, well, you know, they don't talk to me about it, so I ain't going to talk. No. Listen, somebody got to be mature. Somebody has to be an adult in this situation. So make sure that you all communicate. In other words, make sure you do your part. Now, there's a lot of things that plays a factor. And like I said, that person may have been a bad husband, boyfriend, might have been a terrible wife or girlfriend. But no matter what, it's still your child's other parent. So what we have to do, we have to make sure to get the bitterness out of the relationship. We have to get that bitterness out. Like I said, just because he might have failed as a husband, that doesn't mean that he's not a failure as a father. You know, a lot of times I found out some parents, they're gauging if that co-parent is going to be a successful parent based upon the relationship of who they were, ex-husband, ex-boyfriend, or ex-wife, ex-girlfriend. So who knows? They might have been a failure as a boyfriend, husband, girlfriend, or wife. But as long as there is no abuse, you cannot allow them to be restrained from their child. That's their child. And I'm going to say this. Don't play your child as a carrot to a rabbit. Well, if you give more money, you'll see your child. That is foul. If you are doing that, you're wrong. Not only that's illegal, but that's immoral. You cannot do that. Do not deprive your child of their parent. It's not your responsibility. You have to realize the parent has every right to be with their child. Now, like I said, if it's an abuse or whatever like that, then you let the court handle that. You let the courts handle that, not you. The court may decide, you know, supervised visitation right. But if it's just an ordinary, regular relationship, no abuse or anything like that, then you can't dictate, well, that's my child and I love my child and, you know, he's a horrible husband, so what? But he's a great father. She might have been a horrible wife or girlfriend, but she may be one of the best mothers. So, you can't allow your personal feelings or the bitterness to dictate your child's other parent. And also realize this, no matter what, even though you all are not together, y'all can have a working relationship that's effective, that's healthy for the child, even though y'all might be in two different homes. But in order for you to have that, you have to first do your part, regardless if the other parent is going to do their part or not. In other words, this is the catch. You have to do it unto God. In other words, you may have a conflict with the child's mother or the child's father, but you do your part in the eyesight of God. See, somebody got to be the mature one in the relationship, regardless if you all are together or not. But we're talking about in the relationship pertaining to parenting and co-parenting. Somebody got to be an adult. And I found out this. When you do it unto God, when you obedient to God, that gives God access to come in and fight on your behalf. See, it might have taken this to make you closer to God. It might have taken this for you to grow up and be mature. Somebody have to stand up. And like I said, when you obedient to God, that give God access to fight for you and fight on your behalf and for your behalf. So regardless if the other parent chooses to be mature or not, you do it. And don't think about, well, I'm being misused, I'm being mistreated. You have to look at it like this. If you do it and you do it what God says to do, then it's not your responsibility to fix it. It's His responsibility. In other words, when you give it to God, God is the one that can handle it because the issue is much bigger than you. So when it boils down to it, you have to make sure that you are the one that's upstanding. You are the one that's doing things God's way. And when you do it God's way, it gives Him access. But also remember this. Even if it seemed like you're still being mistreated and you're doing things God's way, you're still being used and abused. Remember this. They're not doing it unto you. They're doing it unto God. So regardless what it looks like, you trust God in that area. You trust God, and I guarantee you, you won't be disappointed. And He will help you. He will give you peace in the midst of this situation. So no matter what, realize when you do it God's way, even if that co-parent is being disrespectful, lying, cheating, talking about you, remember, they're doing it unto God. And it's God's responsibility to handle it, to fix it. But I said all that to say this. That's pertaining to the parents. But like I said earlier, the main focus is not the parent. The main focus is the best interest of the child. And you think about it. A child already have things going on in their life. It's bad enough they're dealing with so much peer pressure. They're dealing with their own situation, their own problems as children. And those are children even in a mother and father home, when they have both parents in the home, in a loving home, they already got their own issues with peer pressure and all that stuff outside of the home. The children don't need added problems within the home, even if the parents are outside of the home. That's an issue in the child's mind. That's an issue that's going on within the home, even though mom and daddy are living in two different houses. But think about this. Children in single-parent homes already have enough problems. Now, they got to deal with mom and daddy fighting. That's enough to make a kid go crazy. But I want to talk about some of the things that the children deal with when it comes down to seeing mom and daddy fighting, arguing, regardless if they're in the same house or not. Because a lot of times the children see mom and daddy fighting, arguing. Now, it's one thing to have a disagreement. And a mature mother and father would not discuss anything in front of the children. But there are those that are married and act just as disrespectful or even crazy, I'll say it like that, even crazy in front of the child. So it pertains to those parents and also the parents who are fighting each other outside the home or in different homes. There's a psychologist named E. Mark Cummins. He said conflict affects children by affecting their sense of emotional security about the family. A child has a sense of security and well-being, and if they don't have that, they feel distressed emotionally and are more prone to aggravation and hostility. When they become adults, they were more likely to report like vascular and immune problems, depression, emotional reaction or emotional inactivity, substance dependency. Listen, substance dependency, drugs, loneliness, and prone or problems with intimacy. And intimacy is not just talking about sex. We're talking about relationship, bonding, relationships, trust, trust issues. Parents face all sorts of stress and fights. And fighting is, if you want to say, normal. We're talking about healthy disagreement. We're not talking about physical fighting or emotional fighting. We're talking about disagreement. It's normal. But parents need to keep in mind that their children are watching and listening. So like I said, disagreements, we all going to have it at some point in our life. But it's how we handle it, how we deal with it. That's what matters, especially when it comes down to parenting. But also, in their book, Mr. Cummins, there's a book that he wrote with a colleague, Patrick Davis. It's called Marital Conflict and Children, an Emotional Security Perspective. They identify the kind of destructive tactics that parent uses with each other that harms children. Listen, verbal aggression like name calling, insults, and threats of abandonment. Physical aggravation like hitting or pushing, even silent tactics like avoidance, walking out, withdrawal, even manipulation. And think about this, giving in that may look like a solution, but it's not. But also, this is something else. Nonverbal anger, silent treatment, refusing to communicate or cooperate are also problems too that children see. Children can develop sleep disorder, health problems like headaches, stomach aches, or they may feel sick frequently. Their stress can interfere with their ability to pay attention and create learning and academic problems in school. Most children raised in an environment of destructive conflict have problems forming healthy, balanced relationship with their peers, even with their siblings. Their sibling relationships are affected too. But I want you to think about this. Two major things I'm going to say. Some research suggests that children as young as 6 months old register their children's distress. That's wild. Children as young as 6 months old can pick up on their parents' distress, anger. But also, I want you to remember this. This is the last thing. Kids don't get used to it. They don't get used to it. They don't want to have to choose between mom and daddy. You know, it's a sad thing for a child to have to see their mom and dad fighting, not getting along. But also, I do want to say this. As parents, we are the adults. We shouldn't, or we're not supposed to, make a child choose. I know there are some parents that will say this. But, you know, he ain't nothing to talk about. The child father. He ain't nothing. He's sorry. He cheated on me. He a liar and all this stuff, and trying to bring a wedge between the child and the father. And you know what happens? It makes it difficult for that child to have a relationship with their father. But what their mother does not realize, their mother is planting a seed So that division that she trying to put between the child and the father, eventually it will be between the child and the mother. And of course that goes vice versa too. So you have to remember this. Anytime, matter of fact, there's an old saying that says, if you dig a ditch, you better dig two, because the hole that you're digging might be for you. A lot of time, people are trying to bring a division between the child and the other parent, and they're not realizing that spirit is actually going to be in that child, your child, and it's going to be towards you. A child should not have to decide who they can be with or who they love more. That's immaturity. That's immature for a parent to have to make a child make an adult decision, because the parents can't get along. The parents can't be mature enough for the sake of the child. I'm going to say it like this. It took both mom and daddy to get the child. It's going to take both mom and daddy to raise the child. Just simply put. And no matter what, children love their parents. I'm going to say it again. Even if daddy was the worst thing that ever came into your life, or if mama was the worst thing that ever came into your life, to that child, daddy's his hero. Mama is his or her hero. No matter what. Don't make a child suffer because y'all can't get along. And even if the other parent is not willing, you be willing. Remember this. The Bible tells us, Romans 10:9. Excuse me. I'm going to say it like this. The Bible tells us that we should cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. There is nothing too hard for God. But we have to remember, we have to give it to God. And once we give it to God, he can do something about it. Give it to God. Don't deal with it by yourself. Don't deal with it alone. You have to give it to God. You have to confess that you're hurting. You have to confess, you know what, this is a problem. And I'm going to say it like this. I know a lot of times women don't mind confessing and opening up pertaining to their hurt, pertaining to what's going on. But men, we got to be there. We got to admit that we're hurting. But also, I want to say this. Regardless if it's men or women, I'm going to speak to the men because I'm a father. Even though you may not like dealing with the child's mother, don't abandon your child because you can't stand their mother. Your child needs you. Don't say, well, you know, she gonna do whatever she wanna do. No, your child needs your input. Even if the mother don't appreciate it, your child needs it. But also think about this. Even if you feel like, well, you know what, I'm just not gonna deal with her and I just wait till the child grows up and then I get back into their life. Don't do that. Your child needs you. Listen, I'm the one that worked in the jail, and I see the hurt that children deal with because father's not in their life. For whatever reason, father's not in their life. You know, I had to pull out my book. I wrote a book. I'll tell you about later on. But there is a statistic from the Department of Health and Human Services, and it says this: a girl without a father in her life is 2.5 times more likely to get pregnant and 53% more likely to commit suicide. A boy without a father in his life is 63% more likely to run away and 37% more likely to abuse drugs. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. In other words, where's daddy? Now, I know we talk about, you know, well, they're not in the same home, but what about your presence in their life? See, it's more than just paying, quote unquote, child support, financial support. They need more than financial support. They need emotional support, mental support, physical support. Be there for your child. Sometimes it's good to take off work and have lunch with your child at school. And I'm going to tell you this. Even if you can't deal with the mother that you feel like, because she may have an attitude, she may have, you know, some type of personality conflict, still, it's okay. When you call and check on your child, don't just say, hey, put my child on the phone. No, be respectful towards your child's mother, and vice versa. Women, be respectful towards your child's father. Hey, call. Hello, how you doing? Okay, can I speak to so-and-so, so-and-so? Can I speak, whatever your child name is. Hello, how you doing? Do it. Set an example for your child. And I'm going to tell you this. Doing this, that doesn't mean that y'all are trying to, you know, have a hidden motive or trying to win her heart or win his heart or whatever. No. Remember, that is your child's mother or father. So it's okay when you take your child and you know that the mother or the father's birthday is coming up, it's okay to give them some money, even to take them to go get a gift for their parent. You be the bigger person. Regardless if the other parent going to do it or not, you do it unto God. Like I said, when you do it unto God, when you do things God's way, then it's God's responsibility. It's God's guarantee. And God always backs up his word. But who's going to stand up and be the mature one? I found this out. Even when you pray for your enemies, even when you do good to your enemies, God will make your enemies be at peace with you. Sometimes God will even use your enemies to bless you. So no matter what, do it God's way, even if your enemy is your child's mother or child's father. So whatever issue you may be dealing with in life, we're going to give it to God. Matter of fact, I see I have a caller on the air. I'm going to give them the opportunity. They want to say something. Hello, welcome to Reconnect My Heart Radio program. You're on the air. Hello? Hello, would you like to say anything? Okay, let's see. Hello, are you there? Okay. You're probably just listening. Okay. But no matter what problem that you're dealing with, there's nothing too hard for God. And also, not just pertaining to the issue with baby mother or baby father, conflict, the issues, co-parenting issues, whatever problem that you may be dealing with, realize that there's nothing too hard for God. And this is the opportunity for us to give everything to God. But also, just in case somebody listens to the program and they're not saved, you can be saved even right now. You don't have to wait till next Sunday to make it to church. You can accept Jesus Christ into your life right now. Romans 10:9 tells us that thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Whatever your problems are, you can give it to God. And also, just in case you have someone that's on your heart, someone that you may want to intercede for, you can hold them up before God right now. like I said, even though we are a family, even though this is a podcast, but also this is an opportunity for us to know God for ourselves and accept Him, because living in this world, we need help. Living in this world, we can't do this alone. There may be problems and situations that we may be dealing with, but realize God is here to help us in any and every situation that we're dealing with. Those that may be dealing with problems on their job, you can give it to God. God cares about whatever you're dealing with. God cares about you and your concerns. So realize, even though to some people may not care. You might be dealing with people that don't even care about what you're dealing with or don't even care about you. But realize God cares about you and whatever things that you're struggling with, whatever things that you may have problems with, even things that you may need to give up to God, even things that you may have hang-ups on. God wants you to give it to Him. So realize this is the opportunity, regardless of how long you've been dealing with it, regardless of whatever it is. I don't care if it's alcohol, drugs, pornography, lesbianism, homosexuality, whatever it is. God said you can come to Him and give it to Him and realize there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing surprising that you're going to tell Him about what you did or what you thought about that's going to make Him not only stop loving you, but kick you out or abandon you, make you feel that, you know what, you're too dirty to come to Me. He wants you to give Him everything so you can receive everything that He has for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we're coming to You right now, God. Thank You, Lord, for Your awesomeness. We're coming to You right now, God. God, we want to acknowledge Your presence on tonight, God. God, we're seeing, God, whatever situation, God, that people may be dealing with, God. We're speaking, God, that You help them, God, that You reveal Yourself right now in the midst of their situation right now, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we're speaking, God, for those who may be dealing with conflict with co-parents, of the children's father, of the children's mother right now, God. We're speaking, God, that You help them, God, to receive the peace that they need, God, and give them the instructions that they need, God, that's going to help them overcome whatever situation that they're dealing with right now, God. And God, we ask You to help us, God, to even look at this as teachable moments, God. Help us, God, to look at our problems, God, as teachable moments, but also, most importantly, God, an opportunity, God, to show Yourself strong in our lives right now in the name of Jesus. And stand about everything You stand for, about every problem, about every confusion right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we speaking, God, what the devil meant for evil, God, You will turn it for our good, God. And God, we speak, God, that You help us, God, to seek You in the midst of our situation right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're not going to wait till the situation is fixed to praise You, God. We praise You in the midst of our situation right now. In the name of Jesus, we speak in joy. We speak in peace. We speak in deliverance. We speak in the wholeness right now. We speak that Your purpose be fulfilled in the midst of this situation right now. In the name of Jesus, God. God, we speak, God, that You help us, God, to hold on, God. Help us, God, to hold out even in the midst of this problem right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for the testimony that's coming from this right now in the name of Jesus. God, we speak, God, that You reveal a purpose, God. Reveal Yourself like never before right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we speak, God, for those who may be sick, God. Touch and heal their bodies right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, those who may feel abandoned, God, those who may feel lonely, God, those who may feel rejected, God, we speak, God, that You help them, that You deliver them, that You set them free right now, God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank You, Lord, for everything You've done right now, everything You're going to do right now. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen, amen, amen. I want to thank each and everyone who tuned in and listened and who supported this program. Feel free to contact me on Facebook. I'm Brother Prater. That's brother spelled out B-R-O-T-H-E-R, Prater, P-R-A-T-E-R. You can read my daily devotions and videos on my Facebook page, or you can subscribe to my YouTube channel, or you can go to my website at www.brotherprater.org. You will see my daily devotions, upcoming events, and personal appearances. Also, you can go to the store section of my website, and you can purchase my book, A Few Good Men, A Path to Godly Fatherhood. Matter of fact, those are the statistics were some of the stuff that I read from my book. A Few Good Men was written to applaud the fathers who are taking care of their responsibilities, to educate and challenge those who are not, to give single women a way to identify the qualities of a potential future husband and or father to present and future children. I want to thank each and everyone who tuned in to the program. I thank you all. God bless you. And good night. Reconnect my heart. God bless you.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the